Hey, everyone. Welcome to the House Church Podcast. This is Pastor Jamie here. I'm so glad you decided to join us for today's broadcast. Every time we come together as a church, people encounter God. So my prayer is that you too would experience His presence and hear His voice for yourself. Please enjoy today's message.
Lord, I just thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Father. Father, you are speaking to people. You're moving in lives. You're causing our ears, our hearts to be stirred, Lord, in your presence. You're awakening us. Lord, I thank you that your word stirs our hearts, that your word causes us to be alert in spirit. God, when you're talking to us, I thank you that your sheep hear your voice. And so, Father, I'm asking this morning, help us, Lord. Enable the hearing ear that we might hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So, Lord, I bless our time today, declare it fruitful, that it would accomplish much, and that we'd walk out of here impacted, Lord, influenced, transformed, God, because you encountered each one. So I bless our time in the mighty name of Jesus. And if you agreed with that, you said, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Last week, we began a discussion concerning fruitfulness. We started to talk about how the Father is the vine dresser and that every branch in Christ Jesus that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, which means he's taking stuff away so that you become more fruitful. The discussion I felt was, it was a good beginning. It's a good, like, strong start to this conversation. And honestly, I had a lot of positive feedback where people really were, their hearts were being stirred. They felt that the Lord was really trying to say something to them. And so it really encouraged me to stay on the topic. And so we're going to keep it going this morning. And if you missed last week, I really highly encourage you to go back and listen to it, because it'll make, you know, it builds on one another. But there's not enough time to go back and try to relay those foundations today. What I want to say in concept today, we're gonna say this over and over in different ways. So, but if you can catch it on the first time, then you can ditch out of here early, okay? So here you go. In the beginning, God spoke. Yeah? Okay. Austin, I totally see what you were doing over here. Only I'm gonna do it the opposite direction, right? Didn't you do it over here and then go this way? Yeah, okay. In the beginning, God spoke. Smarter over here. I don't know what's going on here. This side didn't drink enough coffee this morning. Okay, the Lord spoke in the beginning, and then the result was something was created. Okay, the Lord spoke, and then natural things occurred. God created light by speaking forth light. And then out of the light, he created the matter. Out of creation, the Lord would speak over it, and then new things would appear on planet Earth. From the very, very, very beginning, it is the Lord speaking, and the seed of his word transforming and causing life to come from it. It is the word spoken, manifesting and becoming flesh, and God's will being accomplished through it. Always, from the very beginning. This is the order of things. God speaks, it causes something to manifest, and an effect takes place on planet Earth. Are you alive this morning? Okay, that has not changed. It is still the way that God gets stuff done in the earth today. Exact same. It hasn't changed. Okay, the Lord speaks to his people. His people take what he said and act upon it. And spirit becomes flesh and dwells among us. Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. God speaks from heaven, to his children act upon it, and it produces his kingdom. God speaks from heaven, people take action upon it, it produces the result of the will of God being made manifest in the earth. Jesus teaches us to pray, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name," okay? The name of the Lord is to be set apart. It is holy. His name, to call upon the name of the Lord, is to enact his identity and see it made manifest on the earth. So when you call upon the name, Jehovah Rapha, God my healer, you are calling upon the name of the Lord that he might heal you. When you hold the name of the Lord in reverence, you call upon the name of the Lord, there is a release that takes place in the earth realm. It is not just spiritual prayers. This is why we don't take the Lord's name in vain. Because we're not, we are people who must hold in reverence the name of the Lord, because following the enactment of the name of the Lord comes this phrase, "Come your kingdom and be done your will on earth as it is in heaven." The name of the Lord, followed by the will of heaven coming into the earth and being done amongst people. All things on earth as they are in heaven. It's the goal. And it hasn't changed from the very beginning until now. I'm going to lay a foundation of thought this morning. And again, if you got that first concept, you got it. Just keep repeating that to yourself and you'll see as this whole thing lays out. But I want to lay a foundation of thought because I feel like last week we're talking about bearing fruit and it's conceptual. It is. It's sort of metaphorical. Like, okay, well, how do we as God's people bear the fruit of eternity through our lives? Like, we're going to be judged for it. We might want to figure out how to do it, right? But just saying to you over and over, you got to bear fruit. It doesn't mean you understand what I'm saying. All right, so we're just going to slow it down a little bit. I want to lay a foundation of thought, and from there, you're going to see very clearly how heaven invades earth. Got it? Okay, elbow your neighbor and say, "Hey, I think you came on the right Sunday. This is the Sunday to be here. I'm so glad you're here. I can't believe it. So wonderful. It's going to be good. Doesn't it sound good?" Yes, it does sound good. There you go. All right. I got to encourage myself in the Lord this morning. Good job. Way to go. Okay. In the beginning, God speaks heaven and the earth. In the creation of the world, he creates it and he says concerning the world that it is what? It's good. In the good world, God creates a land. He labels a land, a specific landmass in the good world. He labels it Eden. Does anybody know what the word Eden means? It's paradise. So in a good world, God creates a land, specific landmass, that's better than the rest of the good world. I'm pretty sure there was mountains and snow and skiing. Okay. Yeah. Or 75 degrees and sunny, blah. How boring. Can't believe that. Anyway, God creates a land and he labels it paradise. And then it says that eastward in the land of paradise, God creates an enclosure. Your Bible is going to read garden. The word is enclosure. It is a place with boundary and borders. It's an enclosure in paradise. And it says specifically that it is eastward in Eden. The word eastward, that phrase is repeated throughout the scriptures. And that phrase, it's a turn of phrase. It literally means from antiquity or eternity. Okay? So literally, God creates a good world. He creates a land called paradise. And in this land of paradise, there is a enclosure that is founded in eternity. In other words, eternal life dwelled in the enclosure in the land of paradise in a good world. Heaven was on earth, connected to earth, but in a geographical place, a place. And that is where he causes man to be placed. Inside of a divine atmosphere connected to eternity. Can you imagine it? It's like the umbilical cord from heaven, and it rests in a garden. Okay? The life of heaven, the eternal life of heaven. You're inside the garden. You're never going to die. You are breathing eternal life, the experience itself, quite invigorating. The scripture says that God gives Adam and Eve an assignment, and he blesses them into that assignment. The assignment was cultivate and keep this garden. In your blessedness, he blesses them to be fruitful, to multiply, and to fill the earth. Which means that heaven, eternity, inside of this garden is to be extended in its border. Cultivate. Adam is digging up more ground and he's planting another tree. He's taking the atmosphere of heaven and he is taking more ground, taking more ground. Day by day, you can see the Garden of Eden growing. They're having more kids. The family itself inside of this heavenly encounter experience is meant to work together generation after generation until the Garden of Eden covers the face of the earth. The earth is filled. That was the assignment. Until heaven has fully invaded earth. That's the original assignment. That's the purpose. It's still your purpose. It is the call of God on your life. Adam's labor was in cultivating, keeping a garden, physical garden. So every time Adam would plant a tree, he's doing God's will. That's amazing. His labor. We know, though, this story. We know how it goes, how it ends. One day, Adam and Eve look at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God has said, do not touch it. This is for a different day. We can get into that stuff. But they're tempted in that moment to eat of that tree. Eve looks at it, looks at the fruit, understands that it is good for making one wise. Wisdom is knowing what to do. And in that moment, the temptation was this. If you reach out and eat the fruit, you will become like God, and you will be able to judge for yourself what is good and right and perfect for you. In other words, you eat and you separate your will from the will of your Father. You're going to go your own way. That was the temptation. You can judge for yourself what's good and right for you. You're not dependent on your connection with God to know what is right and good, but instead you get to judge for yourself. And so man reaches, sins, this reality is awakened. God looks at him and goes, okay, this is a problem. They will no longer produce with their labor heaven on earth. They'll do what they want to do. Adam and Eve are moved outside of the enclosure. They're moved from inside to outside. On the outside, God speaks to them this curse. Let me read it for you. This is Genesis 3. God said to Adam, because you have listened to the voice of your wife who was repeating Lucifer's words. Okay, this is not a spouse thing. Don't do that to you. Trust me, there's plenty of times when the dudes are listening to the voice of Lucifer too. So, like this isn't a gender thing. Because you have, my wife just like, amen, yes. Because you have listened, right, to this alternate voice, and you have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Because of this, cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. And both thorns and thistles it will grow for you. You will eat the plant of the field by the sweat of your face, the bread, till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken. For you are dust, and dust you shall return. Okay, just see this. It's such an amazing picture. Inside the garden, eternal life, Adam and Eve doing God's will, their labor produces fruitfulness. So inside the garden, spirit atmosphere, they work literally with their hands. They're planting plants, quite literally, gardening. And as they garden, the blessing of the Father who said over Adam, be fruitful and multiply, that blessing flows through the work of Adam and causes fruitfulness to come from the ground. You see it? When they sin, they cut themselves off from eternal life, this atmosphere. They are now outside the garden. And the labor of Adam's hands is hard, first of all, so it's not blessed, it's not easy, it's not happy labor. It's toil, it's difficult. And in that difficulty, you're going to be able to eke out a survival, but the result will be that the ground will produce thorns and thistles. That is the phrase that is pictured in the scriptures from this point on to describe decay. In other words, in the garden, connected to heaven, everything Adam does, fruitful and blessed, the whole thing works, it's amazing. God's pleasure on you, peace, it's working, it's amazing. Outside of the garden, Adam is working much harder than he's ever had to work. He's barely getting and eking a survival. And not only that, the harder he works, the more decay comes. Let me ask you, which side of that are you working from? This is an amazing question to pose in a modern era. Is it blessed? Is it working? Is it full of peace? Is what you're doing advancing God's kingdom? Are you experiencing the smile of heaven as you fill out a form for the IRS? How is it working in you? This same experience can be traced on till today, until something happened. The scripture says that Jesus is the second Adam. This is 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. We'll put it on the board there. It's written, the first Adam, first man, Adam, became a living soul. Okay? It's scripture says, God breathed into mud and he became alive. But he came alive in an atmosphere of eternal life. And that life was external. The last Adam, speaking of Jesus, is a life-giving spirit. Next verse. The spiritual, however, is not first, but it's the natural and then the spiritual. Next verse. The first man was from the earth, earthly. The second man is from heaven, spiritual. Now, why is this important? Okay. In the first Adam, we see that our labors produce a natural world that was meant to be breathed on by eternity. Physical garden. But under the new covenant, that spiritual reality of being born again produces something in you that causes you to advance the kingdom, but now it is in spirit and touches the natural. It's important to note because I think sometimes we get mixed up. We're like I'm doing so much stuff and I'm working really, really hard. But have you ever like worked really, really hard on something? And then you reflected back, just take a little inventory and you go, man, did all that work matter? I just put in all this time, all this labor. It cost me. Did it matter? Did it impact anything? Has anybody ever asked this question? Am I in the long? I'm talking to myself this morning. That's all right. Okay. Like, we ask this. You should ask this. Is what you're doing mattering for God? And so how do you make sure that what your life is producing is actually related to the fruit of heaven? Because one day it's going to be tested by fire. And if it's not eternal, it will be burned up. So it matters what we're giving our lives to. I can feel the grumbling and the, I don't know, what it is, the murmur. Jesus came, the scripture says, to restore that which was lost. Not just forgiveness of sins, but to restore something. I want to propose to you today that Jesus came and restored the connection between man and eternal life. Causes us to become children of God, born of God in spirit, so that we have connectedness and relationship with heaven, but that the eternal life of God would now be inside of us. Which makes the new birth, being born again, which, by the way, if you're not, you should, because, woo, it's wild, okay? But to be born of spirit means that eternal life comes to dwell within you, making your heart the very Garden of Eden, where eternal life is dwelling in this earth, inside of you in spirit, not externally in a garden. Do you see the difference? Jesus took the Garden of Eden, he went ahead and made a way to stick it in your heart. Don't Indiana Jones and go try to find where's the Garden of Eden. Don't even, it's in you. Quit looking out there. It's here. Okay? This is a spiritual kingdom that has natural implications. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven. Even its smallest amount just touches something and it will work its way through the whole dough. After you were born again, you were given unlimited opportunity to see heaven touch your life, to have fruit born out of your life, is the same process of bringing in the creation. It is to hear what God is saying, to act upon it, to live it out until it produces. That is the bearing of fruit, to act in obedience upon what he has said. Jesus said this, it's such an amazing thing, but he said, ask whatever you wish and I'll do it for you because my Father's glorified in you bearing much fruit. Okay, we hit this last week really hard, but that means ask whatever I wish. He's not predetermining what I should do with my life. He's predetermined that I'm to bear fruit. His word is a seed. And that seed comes into lives and people that act upon his word. It's like taking a seed and planting it in soil and watching it bear fruit. To hear what God is saying and then to act upon it is to produce the rule of heaven in the earth. It's to advance his kingdom. If I just said blatantly, like, hey, how do you advance his kingdom? We might come up with answers like, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the... Yeah, sure. All that stuff's included. Go for it. But how about do rightly in paying your taxes? How about honor your boss? How about obey your parents? Those aren't as fun, are they? No, it's just straight. Lepers, clean them. Let's cleanse the lepers. Jesus, I'll go to the nations and I'll die for you. awesome. Why don't you go ahead and serve your neighbor?
Yeah, I'm busy on Saturday. I don't know if I can help.
Well, every single decision you make has the potential to hear what the Lord has to say about that subject, to take action or implement what he says through your actions, and to extend his lordship through your decision. Okay? If you're a business owner and you have to make a decision about some contract, and you're in the boardroom, right, and everybody's talking about this contract we could participate in, oh, it's going to make us a lot of money. But you're a spirit-filled person. You're someone who's connected to the Lord. You're in that meeting, and we're talking about all the ways that this is going to benefit our company, and it's amazing. And let's just say that the deciding factor is you. You have the pressure coming. You're going to have to make a decision. Should we say yes to that or not? Can you put yourself in that position? Right? You're in that moment. You're thinking about it. This is going to make us so much money. This is going to be amazing. And people are excited about it, but the decision's coming to you. And in your heart of hearts, you feel this thing happening. No peace. Lord, we want your will to be done in our company. Well, this is going to make us so much money. Danger, Will Robinson. Do not do this. Holy Spirit in you, warning you. No peace in a decision. If there's no peace in a decision, run. Run. Shut it down. Walk away. Oh, but it would make us so much money. Clearly, it's the God blessing us. Ah, which God? The God of Mammon? Which one are you bowing down to? Obedience to the Lord, obey his commands, is one of the ways we abide in him. How do you bear fruit of heaven? You stay connected to the Lord. This is what Jesus said. If you ask whatever you wish, as long as you stay connected to me and obey what I tell you to do. And what's happened is that God has connected your life directly to the life of heaven, eternal life in you. So that when you take action upon anything that God said, when you put your hand to labor, when you are walking in connection with him and you go to fill out a form or do an administrative task, or it doesn't even matter. Last week we hit plumbing for the Lord, right? Like anything. It's like leaven. You did that for the glory of the Lord, in honor of your boss, in honor of you're submitting, you're serving Jesus, you're walking in his peace, you're inviting him into your decisions. When you go and do a little form and you send it in, that form, every time it touches somebody else's desk, you can see literally the leaven of heaven touching their life and growing. And this is what I want you to imagine. I want you to imagine that every single time you make a decision based on something the Lord had told you, or his peace, or his leading, his leadership, you're walking in submission, whatever you're doing in honor to the Lord, I want you to see it like a vine growing out and touching and transforming a work environment. I want you to see the effects of it as the kingdom growing like a garden from your heart. And so in the midst of any industry, all it requires is one person who loves Jesus to do and obey his word and watch as the garden of God can emerge, even the most corrupt company. Watch as the garden of God can emerge in the midst of a corrupt government. Can I tell you right now in this moment, this is why I don't get down. I'm not freaked out about all the darkness out there. Oh no, darkness. Light a light. Oh no, the world is colliding. It's going to persecute. It's going to destroy. Yeah, Jesus told us about that a long time ago. How much good are you seeing in the darkness? None. Well, stop looking at it then. Seriously. Nope. What you need to do right now is you need to be obedient to what he's telling you to do. Don't react in fear to what you think or conspiring towards. Don't think about that stuff. Fix your eyes on things above. Because it is spirit that creates hope. It's light that gives us intelligence to make decisions. I'm going to get happy up here. I don't know. You don't need to freak out about that stuff. Okay? That's not the stuff to focus on. Focus on heaven. What is God saying to you right now? What is he telling you to do? Walking in obedience to that stuff and watch. Because God can take even the most horrific situation and produce good in it. Heaven wants to invade, but it's coming out of the garden of your heart that's connected in spirit to every decision you make. Every time you honor the Lord and his word through your decisions, you can watch as the garden of God is able to ride on that stuff and impact the world around you. God cannot bless what was sown in iniquity. He won't. You're not going to be able to manipulate. Listen, I'm cheating on my taxes so that I can give more to the church. That doesn't work. Stop. Stop. The Lord loves you so much. Did you know that? He wants goodness to come from your life. What's amazing about God's word is that the Lord from the very beginning of things, he saw the way it was going to end. Scripture says that he sees the end from the beginning. And then he speaks to it. He speaks about what he wants it to end like. And then every generation in between where he spoke it and where it's fulfilled, every single generation in between those things is hearing the same word. Because God's word doesn't change. It came from heaven, and it is meant to produce fruit on the earth. And so a generational promise that was spoken to someone like Abraham, and you now are participating in the faith, do you understand that you have access to what God has said in history to make it make manifest in your life today? Every prophetic promise that's been given to previous generations. God's word does not change. This is why the blessing rests upon fruitfulness. I want you to see this today. If I could get you to just awaken to this one concept, it's this. When God speaks and you act on it and you bear fruit, you follow through and something's produced. Remember it says God will prune stuff. We talked about this last week. Sometimes God prunes a branch that had some fruit on it. You're like, it was working, Lord. Why'd you take that away from me? And he's like, because that seed has to fall to the ground and produce in the next generation. It wasn't meant for you. Right? But your action upon what God said, the DNA of that got infused into the seed that's inside that fruit. In other words, it's the same word generation to generation. It just manifests differently, uniquely in each generation. Okay, why does that matter? I hope you can see this. Lord, open our eyes. Holy Spirit, open our eyes today. Help us to see and perceive. Church, literally as you honor your father and mother, you have the potential to step into supernatural momentum for your life. Because it's in the honoring and the valuing of what God's done in a previous generation that allows it to be transferred into your life. And so what God said to the last generation, by honoring and valuing, you're able to receive and now step forward into it yourself. And all that momentum of all the good that was happening suddenly comes on your life. I am telling you, you can be down and out. You can be in an impossible, broken situation, and all it takes is for you to begin to value and honor a father and mother, a previous generation, somebody that's wanted to do something but hasn't had the capacity to do it. Come alongside them, value what God said to them, and you begin to work on it on their behalf, and watch. watch as momentum flows into your life and you start to produce something that had nothing to do with you. There are three times where I know, this is an external experience, this happens to me experientially, where my joy is made full. I'll tell you about them. This is my process. It doesn't necessarily need to be yours, but I do believe this is a universal principle. Okay, so I'm going to share a secret with you that may or may not be brought to you by our sponsors, okay? All right. I think it is. God blessed them and said, be fruitful, okay? So the fruit flows through someone's life. God's word comes into somebody. They bear fruit. That fruit has the seed, the DNA of the original word. This is how Abraham is the father of faith. Every time you act in faith, you're benefiting Abraham's, like, bank account in heaven. You took action based on something he birthed. Your life is demonstrating his belief. Okay, that was too big of a thought. Got it. Let's bring it back. Here we go. God blessed for fruitful sake. The DNA is in the seed. This is the last verses of it's John 15, 9 through 11. I want to read it before I explain this. Jesus said, just as the Father has loved me, I also love you. Abide in my love. Man, do you know how much God loves you? It's so hard to do, to take action unless you can trust love. So hard, it's so hard to make a sacrificial choice, like something difficult. Like, what if God prunes today your big dream? What if he goes, that is not who you are? Are you going to rage at him? Or are you able to entrust? I'm telling you, when you're in a state of love, that stuff, you're like, I'm good, God. I love you. You're the reason I do life. That thing is just life. It flows. It's rooted in love. If the love of the Lord is an impact in your life, then that is the encounter I encourage you to have. Just as the Father's loved me, I love you. Now abide in my love. Do what I'm telling you to do. Keep my command. And you will abide in my love. Just as I kept my Father's command and I abided in his love. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. The promise of this is joy. And joy is enough to help you to overcome whatever is facing you. If you know this is gonna produce joy, I'm telling you, it's not just the dopamine receptors in your brain, okay? There's something supernatural in this. Something supernatural in this. So these are the three times where your pastor walks in eternal joy. It's what I love to do, it's how I'm designed, it's how God made me. I know it'll be different somewhat for each person, but this principle is real. Hear me out. First time I have joy that's full, when I am asking questions to hear what God has said to someone from the previous generation. When I'm like, yeah, but what did God do in your life? Talk to me about this. Tell me stories. What are some of the prophetic words that you walked in? You saw this living demonstration of it last week with Pastor Allen here. I've had that conversation. I've said, hey, Pastor Allen, what'd you dream about? What things didn't you see fulfilled in your ministry? When I turn my heart in honor towards previous generations, fathers and mothers, honor your father and mother, for this is right, for you will live long in the land and be blessed. This is the first command with a promise. Do you want the blessing of the Lord to rest on your stuff? Then flow out of honor, receive from previous generations, and choose to act upon it. So this is what happens for me. When I hear what somebody else is dreaming about, I will work either to help them fulfill it. I'm like, how can I help? What can I do to help you step into who God said you are supposed to be? How do I participate? How do I help? When I do that, something happens. Something happens in my heart. life fills me, strength fills me. When I'm serving others. When I'm hearing from a previous generation, honoring what they have to say, and choosing with my life to try to demonstrate what God said to them. I'm taking their dream and I'm envisioning it and acting upon it. Do you see this? Often, guys, that means you're gonna have to say no to something that you wanna do. I'll just be straight up. There are things you wanna do, but you do not have enough time to serve what God said to somebody else simply because you wanna do what you wanna do. This is the moment of pruning because you have been given opportunity to step into a momentum of blessing and fruitfulness by participating in a generational word. Honoring produces this. Every time I do that, life flows. That's the fruit of this church, by the way. This is what we do. We hear from other people and we steward what God has been doing in them and we bring forth fruit. And that's why there are spiritual fathers and mothers out there. Because we honor what God said to them. Look around this room. See how many cameras are in this room? You know how we got cameras? Cindy Jacobs came in and said, hey, TV ministry, this is prophetic word. This is what we're supposed to be doing. This is what you're supposed to be doing. It's something she stewards. She releases to us. And then look at that. Cameras everywhere and the thing happens. Took a couple years for us to get up to speed, but boom, there you go. Missions, outreach. These are products of people's dreams, previous generations. We're sitting in a sanctuary that was prophesied by a previous generation and multiple churches different from where we were. Joy is made full when we honor the previous generation and what God said to them. Are you alive? There's inheritance. Wait, I'm telling you where the secret map to the treasure is right now. The second time is when I'm working with a peer. It's just somebody. I'm just trying to help them become who God made them to be. Joy is made full when I take my gifts to help them. And the last thing, this one is so easy. Ugh. But it is the joy set before me. It's that I live to impart what God said to me to my kids and the younger generation. When I take prophetic promises and I help sow the seeds of what God has said to previous generations, I sow those seeds into the hearts of the next generation. When I do that, I can walk through walls. If you said to me, Pastor Jamie, here's this opportunity, you can go do this thing and it's gonna benefit you greatly and it's gonna inspire your ministry and anything that's like, hey, it'll help you, I am not motivated at all. I could care less. Just not. I'm not motivated by that stuff. I don't have that thing in me. But if you tell me that it's going to enable the next generation to run the race, then I can put up with and I can run through walls. If I know that this is going, the labor, the sacrifice is going to enable my kids to fulfill God's word on their life, then I'm working extra hours. I have no issue with it. I can deny myself for the joy set before me of my children fulfilling what God called them to do. Do you see it? Yeah. Y'all, every time you pour yourself out for someone else, that joy comes. Every time you pass, you take what God has said and you act upon it in your life and you implement it. Life is extended. The rule of heaven rests upon your labor. The garden is expanded every time you put your hand to something in the light of what he's saying to you. We are watching right now as God's garden, like leaven, has been sown throughout culture. You just are not going to find very many situations where a believer isn't directly connected to whatever it is. Every business, there's a believer connected to it. They might not be hired, but they're a friend or they're somebody, and God strategically placed leaven in every area of society. Right now, This is why I'm not worried about the next generation, because the Lord already is sowing truth and light into every situation. It's already happening right now. You know why I'm not fearful for my kids? I can tell you why. Because I know that hope wins. I know that hope wins. Hope is what people gravitate towards. And so we'll have moments of, in our history, we'll have moments of crisis, and out of fear or anger, people will rally for a moment. Oh, we're mad about this, and so let's rally, let's get something done. Rah! And we get it done, and then as soon as the fear subsides, we all go back to doing whatever we wanted to do. 9/11 is a perfect example of this. We had the whole Twin Cities in the Metrodome praying immediately after 9/11. Fear brought unity. Was it lasting? No. But hope? See, whoever provides the most hope wins. Whoever provides the most hope wins. If you have a hopeful outlook, I'm telling you, that it draws people in. And when God speaks and you hear, you can't help but have a hopeful outlook. When we look at the world in darkness and confusion, it's easy to get disconnected from that and get into fear. But when you are walking in obedience, and you're doing what God said, and you have hope for those situations, doesn't matter what they are, I'm telling you, it's what allows us to stay unified and grow. The garden is released through hope. I want you to close your eyes for a moment. Just sitting there. I just want you to close your eyes for a moment. Just want you to take inventory. Just ask yourself, you know, we're partnering with the Holy Spirit. Lord, would you help us to see, to recognize where you have spoken to us, told us something to do? Would you remind us of the things Jesus already said? That's a legal prayer, by the way. The Holy Spirit will remind you of the things Jesus has said. So just do it right now. See, you have heard words from the Lord. They're in your heart. Now, Holy Spirit, would you remind us? Remind me, Lord, of something you've said to me. It's the seed of his word. Holy Spirit, would you release wisdom to us now for how we should act upon what you said? Come on, ask him right now. Lord, show me what to do. Give me wisdom, Lord. How do I act upon what you said? How do I further act? Some of you have started to take action, but you haven't followed up. You haven't kept going. Come on, we got to stay at it until fruit is born. Lord, show us what to do. Give us wisdom. Now, Father, I'm praying that you would infuse joy connected to the outcome of that. That there would be a joy set before them that would enable them to stay the course until it is fulfilled. That you would release joy in their lives and connect them to people who are also called with same purposes. Connect us, Lord, to people that we're supposed to serve and help. Connect us to the previous generation, Lord, where promises are coming through and momentum and release of resources are coming. God, I'm praying that you would cause us to come into perfect alignment with your will, that we might see your kingdom advanced here on earth just as it is in heaven. Lord, I thank you that our families would walk in this, our kids would walk in this. Holy Spirit, that you would remind us of stories to tell and promises to release over them. I thank you for that. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. 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 All right, would you jump to your feet? I'm going to release the blessing over you, and we'll get about our day. there is a whole room out there, I will remind you, of opportunities. There's like ways to participate, help us host these weekends, and ways for you to sow into the next generation, participate in youth and kids, and there's small groups out there where you can be working on behalf of others and seeing life and maturity come. It's an amazing thing. Please participate in it. Connect with people. Get involved. I want you to be prospered in these days. So, Father, I bless your people today. I thank you, God, that you have brought a deliverance to us. I thank you, God, that you have seated our hearts with truth. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are unveiling and unlocking our ability to see in spirit, Lord, how your kingdom is moving forward. And then, Father, I thank you also that you would go before us and you would set up good works for us to walk in. Father, that you would align our lives to come into contact with other treasure holders, Lord, and the maps that lead us to destiny, Father, those connectedness with other previous generations' prophetic words. Lord, I thank you for us coming into alignment with your purposes that we might see heaven invade earth fully until all things have come under the dominion of Jesus. God, I pray these things today. I bless your people. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, and grant you his peace. And everybody who dared to agree with that said, come on, can we give a good clap to the Lord?
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. It's our hope that God touched your life in a truly meaningful way. And if you were impacted, please let us know by writing a review or share it with friends. If you'd like more information on The House Church, we would love to connect you with our community. Please visit us at ithehouse.org for more information. We'll see you next week.